kind of situation at St. Matt's, because whilst we kind of function kind of fairly autonomously as a church, we're also part of a team ministry. So that means we kind of get extra value for money. It's like we have two annual meetings. There's an annual parochial church meeting for the team as a whole, and that's already taken place last month. And then each of the churches in the team have their own church meeting, and it's kind of our church meeting today. So some of the roles for that are really key in the life of St. Matt's have already kind of been, people have been elected to them already, and that took place at that annual parochial church meeting. But some of the other roles that are about our own leadership kind of take place here. We try to get the business bit out of the way as fast as possible, so we can try and focus as much of our time kind of on, you know, kind of what's God doing amongst us? What has God been doing over the past year? Kind of what do we feel kind of God is laying on our heart for the future? So kind of in a way, it's about kind of lifting our eyes up just to see what God might have in store for us today, which for me, I think kind of is exciting. There is time for questions. There's an agenda. Is there on PowerPoint, Hannah? Why don't we just show people what they've got coming? We've got so many PowerPoints, finding the right one is going to be tricky. Yep, so kind of the businessy bit begins with minutes and elections. And then we're going to be hearing a little bit how God has blessed us financially from Kate. We've had changes in our 7 o'clock, so we've got a video about that. And then I'm going to be sharing my heart. But you'll see at the end, there's space for any other business or questions. You might have questions for Kate after she speaks, or you know, other points. But kind of, if you've got things you want to ask, kind of store them up, make a note of them. We kind of want to hear from you as well during the course of this morning. So that's kind of where we're going. So let's try and deal with the businessy bits as quick as we can. Just the background here is that we have minutes of last year's meeting. They are at the back of church. They've been on the website as well as at the back of church for at least a week. So hopefully people have had a chance to look through them. There is also on the website, which is even kind of more important, kind of our church's annual report. And kind of we don't try and touch on every area in this meeting. So we kind of get people that have got key areas that they look after in church to write up about what God's been doing. So kind of if you want to know about that and you've not already seen it, there are paper copies at the back. I think there's some still left. But actually the easiest way to access it is it's on the website. So that's kind of the best way. So kind of picking up on this agenda, the first thing is, can I first of all kind of ask if everyone is happy that the minutes that we have are a true record of what happened last year, if anyone can remember? Does anyone think they aren't? Good, in which case we'll accept them and approve them, and I'll sign a copy of them later. Those of you that have read them, and bearing in mind the agenda that's coming, are there any matters arising anyone wants to raise from those minutes? And I'm looking round, and there's no hands flying up, so I guess that's a no, which is exactly what I was hoping for. So that deals with item one. The next item is elections. And this is where it might just be helpful if I kind of set the scene. Kind of St. Matt's, we have two leadership bodies. We have a church council, our DCC, District Church Council, which is the legal body. It acts like a board of trustees, if you like. And then there's also a leadership team, which is made up of staff and kind of appointed people that have leadership over areas of church life. And that's kind of appointed as a management team by the DCC. So we kind of elect people, particularly to those DCC roles. There's been some elections that have taken place already. So at the annual parochial church meeting, we elected our church wardens, and we would have elected all of our deanery synod reps who represent us in the wider Church of England, but we only have one of those vacancies filled. So this year, Michelle stepped down as church warden, David has continued, and I'm really excited, and I hope you are too, that B has taken on that role as the other church warden. So B, thank you, and perhaps we could just show our appreciation. B, stand up and twirl, just in case everyone doesn't know who you are. Nice twirl. Do we get a twirl? Oh, a very nice twirl indeed. B, thank you so much. And I'll do some thank yous in a moment. Mary was also elected as one of our Deanery Synod reps. Do you want to stand, Mary? I think everyone knows who you are, but would you mind? Just so everyone knows. Now, we still have a vacancy for one other person on Deanery Synod, because they weren't both filled. It's slightly more onerous, because not only are they on our DCC, the way the Church of England works is, if you're on a kind of a higher council, you're on every council below them. So whoever's on Deanery Synod is part of our DCC, and they also represent us on the team's PCC, and then the deanery. So there's one vacancy that we need to fill for that, and there are two vacancies that we need to fill to represent you on our district church council. One of those is because B was a member of the DCC and has become church warden, and that creates a vacancy. And the other is because we have three DCC members and they step down on a kind of three-year cycle. And the person that has stepped down at the end of her three-year cycle this year is Jane Richardson. So thank you for kind of coping with 3 years of DCC. But that means we now have two vacancies. So at the moment, I've not been aware of anyone that wishes to stand for any of those roles. So this is when everyone probably wants to bury their heads, suddenly discover that they need to tie their shoelaces, or perhaps a visit to the toilet might be in order. No. In all seriousness, what I would like to do is take nominations from the floor. If you are nominating somebody else, it would be really good if you had asked them before you nominated them, particularly if they're not in the building, although actually it might be the easiest way to fill those roles, one has to say. So first of all, let's start with the Deanery Synod. Is there anyone that will wish to stand or be nominated for the role of representing St. Matt's on the Deanery Synod? If there's more than one person, there'll be an election. So is there anyone that wishes to stand for that role? And there's glaring silence in the room. I'm not going to hang this out to kind of put pressure on you or look at anyone in particular. If they aren't filled today, what we will do is we will kind of talk to people and we will try to kind of fill them post-annual church meeting. Is there anyone that wishes to stand then for either of the DCC places? Basically, there are five meetings a year, so it's less onerous. It's a key part in kind of making sure that we keep the vicar kind of on the straight and narrow, and kind of there's accountability in our church life. Anyone who would like to stand? Well, we're doing well this morning, aren't we? This could be exceptionally brief at this rate. Jane, are you... Matt, did I see a hand go up? Matt, that was a very brave thing to do. Okay, Matt, okay. You can manage that? Okay. Is there anyone that would be willing to nominate Matt and to second Matt? Yeah. Okay. I think the first hand I saw got was Matt Taylor. We'll go with Ed. He got two hands up. Okay. And I know that Jane is happy to stand again. That's correct, isn't it? I'm not just putting you on the spot and making you do something you don't want to do. Yeah. Is anyone that would be happy to nominate Jane? Dedo nominating and D seconding. Those are the two I kind of saw first. Is there anyone else that wishes to stand, in which case we'll have an election? I'd like an election. Wouldn't it be exciting to have an election? We don't get many elections in this country, do we? Can't we have another election? You know? Okay. Bearing in mind there's no one else standing, I declare that Jane and Matt are duly elected to the DCC. Thank you very much. Well, Jane knows what's involved. We'll let Matt know as soon as possible. We're going to hear now from Kate, who's going to fill us in on kind of really how God has blessed us. It is how God has blessed us, isn't it? Fill us in on how God has blessed us. I think it's how God's blessed us.
Thank you. Yeah, that's fine. Crikey, there aren't many people here, are there? Oh, well. Yeah, I just wanted to give you a bit of an update following what I presented to you in December, just to show you where we are now. I'm afraid I forgot that we've got these small screens, so I don't know how much you'll be able to see, but you'll get a gist, I'm hoping. So to recap what I did talk about, I talked about in 2015, our income was only just slightly lower than our expenses. But that didn't take into account the amazing gift day where everybody was incredibly generous, where £28,000 was raised. So we used a tiny bit of that £28,000 to balance the books, as it were. Hannah, you'll just have to keep going with this. There's quite a few. Which left us with £26,000 in our gift day pot. 2016, so you'll have seen the figures, we spent £9,000 more than we had in income. So we used some more of the pot. So there's about £17,000 sitting in that now. And this year, our expenses are budgeted to be around about £165,000 and income the same as last year, which would leave us with deficit, posh word, of £15,000. But that was before Chris sent his letter, and you guys have just been really, really amazing and have pledged. So far, people have committed to be giving another £6,000 a year, and on top of that, £8,000 a year, and on top of that, another £10,000 has been pledged. So once people start changing their direct debits, next year we'll see the full £18,000. This year, it's not going to have as much of an impact because obviously we're already pretty much halfway through the year, which is crazy. But should everything happen, then the pot will be sitting at around £10,000. So that will fully cover this year. And then next year, we'll be in a much better position. So I just want to thank everybody hugely for committing to the life of St. Matt's and for giving as generously as you do, because we are really, really grateful. Yeah, thank you very much. Now, it says questions as well. I don't know if anybody...
to be pedantic, because I'm sitting here and I know what you mean by that gift day pot, and I guess a lot of people that were around when we did that would know why we had a gift day and what it was for, but other people may not. So could you just kind of fill that gap in? Is that okay?
Well, you could do that, Chris.
Of course, have a treasurer and do the work yourself.
So back in 2015, we were a bit unsure about the finances. And one of the things that we talked about was the huge investment that we have in our children and the number of children that go to St. Matt's. And we are so blessed to have both a children's worker and a youth worker. So the gift day was all around allowing that to continue towards the future.
Thank you so much.
Has anybody else got any questions? Oh, I was really surprised to see you here, actually. I was kind of expecting a question.
When we turned up, having forgotten we were leaving. So my question is just, and you might have covered this earlier whilst we were still eating toast, but with obviously the new budget year coming along and for next year, and with John and Claire obviously departing, I'm assuming that we are still intending to recruit for both positions and we're not seeing it as an opportunity to cut headcount and save the money.
So the letter that Chris and I sent out in March time...
That would have been read by my wife, not by me.
Okay. That was all about sort of asking people to let us know what they thought exactly about that. And there was a reply slip to let... you know, to let us know. And actually...
There you go, that's my reply.
Sorry, yeah. And exactly, and that was the resounding response, was to go ahead and recruit both. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm confident that there is the money there to do that. Yeah.
And I will talk about more about the implications of that in what I say in a moment, so you'll hear some more about that as well. I run around with the microphone, just that way everyone gets to hear.
For layman's terms, is it a deficit or a surplus next year?
2018 or 2017?
2018?
Next year. I'm hoping... this does require all those lovely people who pledge to give money actually increasing their giving. But assuming that does happen, then I think we'll be at around a break-even point. Thank you.
Brilliant. Kate, thank you so much. That was very brief and to the point. And you even cope with the vicar being pedantic and awkward. If you kind of think of things that you wanted to ask Kate and you kind of didn't, when we get to questions at the end, we can always kind of pick up on more finance questions. If there's anything that you want to ask, can you? And if you've not had a chance to look at them, again, in the annual report that's on the website and at the back of church, you will find kind of a summary set of accounts there. So you can look through those. And if you haven't got your questions ready today, I'm sure Kate will be happy to speak to anyone at any time about kind of church finance and how that's all working. Now, one of the kind of the key shifts that's kind of happened recently is that John, who was kind of overseeing 7 o'clock, has stepped down from that role. That has implications for kind of our decision making kind of in reappointment process. You'll kind of read about kind of there's 2 7 o'clock reports in our kind of annual report, kind of one from John and one from the team that have taken that on from him. And that's Rob Wilson and Katie Johnson and Catherine Bourne. And they're kind of overseeing 7 now. But it's also gone through a bit of a transition. And we wanted to share some of that with you. So we've got a video. I think it's a bit, you've got to listen carefully. Is that the right? Is that the advice on this one? So we've got a video about 7 next.
Hi, I'm Katie, and we're at the pub, and we do every week after 7.
7 is a community of believers, creating space to encounter and worship Jesus. Together we're sharing our experiences of God at work as he responds, as he reveals himself and our own identities. There is no formula, just an authentic relationship. So we're currently had about 10 weeks of our new 7 format, which is just really simple. Starting at 7, having a song, welcoming everyone, and just having an extended period of worship. It's just a real space for people to encounter God and just really go deeper into his presence. That we're having a really short talk.
Rob's quite keen on the timing of these
10
talks.
To 15 minutes. Snappy. Like a TED talk is the best that I like to think.
That's good. And we've had a range of speakers bringing God's word to us and just sharing their experience with us.
So it's been really encouraging having members of the 10 o'clock service as well coming to the 7 o'clock service just now and then. That's just been really great to have.
Because everybody is welcome.
Everyone is welcome. And come along, because it is very different from the morning service. There's a lot of space, and I think people have really been just valuing that. So yeah, come along.
We'll see you there.
See you there. Hi, I'm Rob.
Hi.
Well, I hadn't seen it before, and I have been told that the volume wasn't great. The fact that they chose to do it in the pub might tell you just something or about 7. I don't quite know what that communicates in itself. The disturbing thing is that Rob actually works in video production. That worries me a little, I have to say. Essentially, kind of, we had some experiments in 7, kind of, with different formats. Part of the change with kind of the new leadership team is to give it kind of a more consistent format. It's very much kind of a CAF style. It's very informal. It gives an opportunity for kind of longer worship, perhaps with a bit more space to meet with God. Kind of the model they're kind of using for teaching is to kind of keep it brief and to the point. So they're trying to have really kind of punchy 15-minute talks and then to finish with time for ministry. And generally, after that, they do tend to toddle off down to the pub down the road. So kind of they're very much, you know, developing community as well as worshipping together. And it's kind of for anyone that would like to be part of that at 7 o'clock on a Sunday meeting. Starts Sunday evening. Starts off here in church, kind of migrates down the road to the pub afterwards. Any questions about what's happening with 7? Because Susie could answer them, actually, couldn't she? Because you're part of it. You could have done this instead of me. You're looking worried now. Okay. Yeah, I know, it's really hard to put into words. Are you going to mention that little detail to your daughter when you go home? Yeah, when she surfaces, okay. I mean, you'll just be so welcome. Equally, 5 o'clock, if you like something more traditional, our 5 o'clock service is much more liturgical, kind of more traditional worship style, and, you know, they, and again, a real sense of community. Begins with afternoon tea at 4:30, kind of begins the service at 5, anyone will be very welcome there. So kind of if morning, kind of you like it, but you'd like something more informal or less informal, kind of there are other options there too. Okay, it's me now. I wish I could profess that this is going to be brief and to the point, looking at Liz. So I hope your concentration span is okay. I'm going to be as brief as I can. And we've got to kind of get up another PowerPoint slide. Is that okay? Are we ready for that? That'd be brilliant. Get the heading one up and I'll start. Brilliant. That's excellent. Kind of this is really my reflections on last year. And also kind of a little bit of my thoughts as we look forward. I'll be particularly picking up on that whole business about appointments with John and Claire going and things like that. The place I want to begin is the bit that terrifies me. It's with thank yous. And that's not because I don't want to thank people. It's because I have this kind of horrible fear in the pit of my stomach that I'm going to forget to thank someone really important that I really shouldn't have missed. And so if I kind of, if you have served in a particular ministry and church for 20 odd years and just stepped down and I forget to thank you, please forgive me. You know, it's part of grace and all of those things. Already mentioned B taking on the role as warden. Michelle Shirley had been serving as warden for a number of years. She was particularly kind of functioning as a warden at 7 o'clock service. And she has stepped down, and we're just grateful for what she's brought. She brought a lot of expertise to kind of the HR side of church life. She's made a massive contribution, and we're going to miss her. Also, we've seen a change in our church staff already during this year. Last year, Claire Kalis, who had been administrator for a number of years, stepped down, and the lovely Hannah has taken on that role, and we're really grateful for Hannah. But really, it kind of in Claire's absence, she moved to Hereford to get away from the job. That's pretty extreme, really, isn't it? I just really want to give a big thank you to her. More recently, Mary, who you've heard has taken on the Deanery Synod role, Mary had been part of our leadership team, and she's been overseeing house groups on that for probably 8 years, something like that. So just, again, a very big thank you to Mary for kind of all she's done in that too. There's also enormous gratitude and a big thank you for many people who kind of just continue in roles and do them week in and week out. And some of those roles seem glamorous. Some of them kind of seem less so. Kind of that reading from Romans was talking about the body and people having different gifts and actually that they all matter. And all of those roles matter, whether it's welcome team or worship or AV or PA or children or youth ministry, serving on DCC's leadership teams, cleaning, gardening, driving older members of the congregation to church, kind of serving as a house group leader, being involved in women's ministry. The list just goes on and on and on. There's just so many areas where people willingly serve, and we're just grateful. We have to do an estimate on our kind of average kind of volunteer hours in the course of a week. Kind of the Church of England every now and again kind of gives you these things. He wants you to give statistics on how many people come and what you do with this and what you do with that. And this year, one of their big questions was, how many volunteer hours do you think we have within your congregation, you know, that are offered? And it was kind of, you know, 10 to 20, 30 to 50, 50 to 100. And actually, at the highest level, was up to 200. And I reckon we are well over 200 volunteer hours in a week with the amount of hours that people put in within this congregation. So just a big thank you to everyone that kind of plays a part. We really, really appreciate it. The list goes on and on and on. Kind of, I said I wanted to reflect a bit on the church year, and I'm only going to pull out some highlights. So kind of, and that's the next slide, but it's not there for very long. Kind of, you know, the continued growth in our children. Don't write any of this down, Hannah. I can give you a written copy of it. Hannah's trying to minute it and operate the AV at the same time. We just love the fact that there are so many kids and young people involved, not just on Sundays. Kind of on Sundays, you see the tip of the iceberg. Generally, on a Sunday, there are up to 60 kids under 16 involved in our ministries. That's really exciting. But we're doing stuff in the school. We've got kids coming to clubs during the week that have, you know, that have no connection with church family, but on the whole, they've been brought along by their peers, and it's really exciting to see the opportunity kind of that gives us. And it makes us incredibly grateful for not just what John and Claire do, but everyone that serves on those teams, because it kind of, it's a big, big team effort. So that just is a continuing highlight of life at St. Matt's, really. Another kind of exciting thing this year, kind of sad in a way as well, was Mark Lavender was ordained. It's hard. It's exciting when people are ordained and they go into leadership, but it's kind of hard saying goodbye, isn't it? Mark is the fourth person in a decade to be ordained from St. Matt's, and that kind of reflects part of our values, that we want to raise up leaders, that we put a priority on that, whether it's kind of within this body or for the wider church. That matters to us, and it's part of our heart. So just exciting to see that kind of next step taken by Mark as he's begun his curacy. And he's working with someone that's even wackier than me, which is kind of, kind of brave of him, really. Never mind. Another highlight during the year was Love High Brooms. Just great to get out into our community, to serve people in their homes, on the streets, to go into our local school, and just do some kind of practical acts of kindness. It was a lovely thing to do. A big thank you to everyone that took part, and to John and Claire for doing all the kind of the work and the organisation on it. Another highlight was the multicultural supper. Was it 29 different nationalities, am I getting that right, that were involved? Kind of, and that's an amazing reflection of the diversity of this congregation. I think one of them was Cornish. I'm not sure that really qualifies. I am really not sure. I mean, they may be odd, but I'm not sure that really qualifies. You know, now I'm now probably been totally offensive to anyone that's Cornish. But the other ones were real nationalities, honestly. You know, just so exciting to see the diversity of life in our fellowship. Really, really exciting. A fabulous church weekend just a few weeks ago. We were so excited to be able to welcome Nicola. We really wanted her to come, and we chose this theme, Daring to Love, because we just felt that it was an area that we wanted to be challenged in as a church family. There's a real hard tension, isn't there, in holding together kind of the need to kind of step out in faith and pray for people and expect God to work, but also to walk with people through pain when actually their story is one of suffering. And one of the things I loved about Nicola was that it seems to me that for her, demonstrating love is going after both. And that's hugely challenging. And I think it's where we need to be as a church. It's a difficult tension to live in. If you weren't at the weekend, can I just really encourage you to download the talks off the website? They were great, really, really challenging and really encouraging. If you can't do that, let us know. We can give you CDs of them. So kind of, don't be kind of left out, because that's not something that you can easily do. So some real exciting highlights during the year. Some difficult things too. John and Claire made us aware that they'll be leaving this summer. They're going to be going in July. This is just a kind of a chance to let you know. The second Sunday in July will be their last Sunday at work. There will obviously be a collection happening. They don't know any of this yet. We're also do a barbecue on that day, so we've got time to spend with them. And we'll probably make that an extra family service, so kind of all the kids can be here to kind of celebrate what they've done, and we can all say goodbye and say thank you as a church family. So kind of that's all going to be springing into action in the near future. But kind of it's not easy saying goodbye, is it? It's not easy at all. And we're just so grateful. They've done a wonderful job, and they leave both our children's ministry and our youth ministry in a really good, a really healthy position. And it's hard to let them go, not just because they were good at what they do, but because they're part of us, aren't they? We love them, and yeah, we're going to miss them desperately. It's going to be really, it's tough. And that kind of ushers in really what I want to talk about as we think about the future, really, because it feels to me that kind of change is something that is dominating, well, not just us, as our life as a church, but the world in which we live in at the moment. Kind of nationally, we're still trying to work through the ramifications of Brexit. Some of us may think that's a good thing. Some of us may struggle with it. Now we're faced with a general election, and we kind of are probably wondering what that difference that's going to make to the political landscape. There is change internationally. Kind of rarely has another nation's elections had as much of an impact on us, I would, and the world, as the election of Donald Trump in America. And I won't even comment whether that's a good or a bad thing either. It has huge potential, as we see, to impact the whole world. More recently, we've seen France make a totally different sort of choice with the election of Emmanuel Macron. It kind of seems like we live in our world in a time of significant change. That isn't just true of the world in which we live. I think also it's true of what's happening in our church at the moment, and not just because of John and Claire going. And kind of change. You know, some of us love change. You know, it's boring if it all stays the same. And some of us hate change. Just, I want it to stay as it always was. I like it as it is. And so we kind of have really differing kind of reactions to change. But it seems to me that change is the heart, at the heart of kind of what it means for us to follow Jesus. And we're going to start with a bit of light relief here. We've got a video clip. I know you're not children, but you don't mind a bit of Disney, do you? Everyone happy with a bit of Disney? Good. Sorry, you're going to miss out on the kind of the kind of sickly kiss at the end. I'm really sorry to kind of cut it there. I know that it's old-fashioned now because there's a new one out there and all of that. And you might think the vicar's lost the plot. It's the annual church meeting and he's showing us clips from Walt Disney and the Beauty and the Beast. You know, do we need to get counselling for the vicar? Kind of transformation and change go hand in hand. They're there throughout the Christian life. And they're there at the beginning of the Christian life. I gather that the cinematographer that made that kind of Disney clip was a Christian. And what he had in his mind when he made it wasn't just the change from beast to man to fit the film, but it was the change when kind of God touches someone's life and the old man dies and the new man comes to life and they come to faith. And so kind of what his mind was on when he made that was the transformation that takes place, the change that takes place in someone when they become a Christian. So kind of change is where we begin as Christians. We die to our old life, we rise to a new life in Christ, and we're filled with this Holy Spirit. That's kind of where it begins. Change is there. Change is there throughout the Christian life. It's kind of how we grow in our faith, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I chose that passage from Romans. Do not be conformed any longer. Can we have the next slide up? Thanks. To the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Kind of God is in the business of changing us, and kind of with all these changes happening in the world, actually it's really important that we're transformed and changed by him, not conformed by the pattern of the world around us. And that means kind of even when others see things as hopeless, we should find hope. And change is there right at the end of the Christian life too. Kind of that's the ultimate change from this kind of mortal flesh to glory. And when kind of Paul talks about the resurrection, he talks about all of us being changed. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. It's like change and transformation is the ultimate goal of the Christian life. So it's something that we shouldn't be kind of afraid of. It's something we should embrace. And we should look for God's hand in. And as I said, kind of we all react differently. Some of us love it. Some of us see the adventure. Others hate the uncertainty that it brings. It's fundamental to the Christian life. And it's fundamental to church. And it does feel at the moment that we're entering into a season where there's a lot of change. And I think change is going to dominate church life for the foreseeable future. Kind of not just an appointment process to put new staff in place. It's a bigger thing than that. There are minor ones. We've been experimenting with our worship patterns. We seem to lose the plot a bit this morning with that one, didn't we? I don't know quite any of us knew what we were doing earlier. We're meant to know what we're doing. But that's kind of a minor change. But there are also some very big ones, like John and Claire moving on, and the need to appoint new staff, and I'm going to come back to that in a moment. There are just three areas of kind of change that I see as part of our future that I just need to talk about this morning. The first is this whole thing about team ministry, which will probably seem a strange thing to talk about when we function so independently already as a church. But kind of, at the moment, there's a review going on about the nature of the team ministry, and that has implications for where we fit into it and our future as a church. And it's important that you know about that and you understand that. As I've mentioned, we're part of a team ministry in partnership with St. Peter's in Southborough, with Christchurch there, and also with St. Lawrence in Bibra. And kind of the way that's functioned has been really with a very light touch. almost a team was designed to give as much autonomy as possible to the individual churches, which is why some of you are sitting there going, what, we're part of a team ministry? I didn't know that. But that's kind of been how it's been designed to work. But with Gerald's retirement, kind of, it's just kind of inevitable people would ask questions about, is it working in the best way? Is it the thing we should continue with? Should we rethink ministry in some way? And there are a number of reasons for that. Kind of, it works that way because Gerald, who has the final say, is happy for it to work that way. A new team rector coming in could say, no, actually, we're not going to do things separately. We're going to do all things together. And we would have very little control over that. So there's a big implication about who comes in as the new team rector overall. But also there's just a need, I think, for change, particularly at the Southbrook end of the team ministry, where perhaps there's a need for a more holistic approach to touching kind of the town of Southbrook, particularly with the new hub being built and the opportunities that that will bring. So there's been a review going on with Gerald retiring to ask kind of questions that's been conducted by the rural dean, and just asking what shape should ministry take both within the team, within Southborough, Tunbridge Wells, looking at us in the wider context of the rest of kind of the Tunbridge Wells deanery too. And there's also a big question as well, because there's another church in Southborough that's not part of the team ministry at the moment, St. Thomas, that kind of functions completely separately. And kind of where does that fit in? And so kind of what's going to happen in the coming months is there's going to be some discussions going on between Christchurch and St. Peter's and St. Thomas in particular about the best way they might be able to work together. And there are also questions being raised about whether or not it's right for us at St. Matthew's to continue as part of the team, or whether it would be right for us to become an independent parish. That would have a number of different implications. It would simplify kind of some of the structure. Like when I talked about Deanery Synod, I kind of said, well, whoever's on it is on our DCC, they're on the team's PCC, they're also on the Deanery Synod, which is what they're elected to. It would remove kind of one bit of kind of governance and decision making and leave us with our own local and then how we connect to the wider church. It would put that very much back into our own hands, and it would give us much more of a sense of our own destiny and control over our own destiny. What it would also mean is it wouldn't mean that we wouldn't do anything with Southborough churches. If there are areas that it made sense to partner with them, that, you know, that's something we would still be free to do, but it would be kind of on a basis of, well, actually, this makes sense to do together, and kind of this doesn't. The other thing would be it would also free us to kind of look more towards Tunbridge Wells and possibly to also do things in partnership with other Tunbridge Wells churches more than perhaps we've done recently. Notably, it would free us to perhaps work in more partnership with St. Philip's and possibly St. Luke's, which are kind of our neighbours going in the other direction. So kind of there's potentially kind of a lot of change that may happen regarding about kind of the nature of ministry here at St. Matt's, but also the nature of ministry in the team. So would you please pray for our DCC and our leadership team, who will be having to kind of make sense of this and be part of that decision-making process. What I would say is when it comes to making a final decision, you will all be involved. It will either take place at an annual general meeting or at an extraordinary general meeting, so people can vote and have their say in that decision-making process. As it stands at the moment, it has felt to the previous DCC and leadership team that actually for St. Matt's to start to step out into it on its own makes sense to us, and the opportunities that it would bring seem attractive. I'm happy to ask some questions about this kind of later on if you've got them. Second area of change is the big one that's probably on most of your minds. It's been reflected kind of in questions we've had already. That's all about change of staff. There's just a huge impact for us with John and Claire going. It's hard when we love them. It's really hard when they've done such a good job and kind of developed such a great children and youth ministry. And it's important because that's a really significant part of the life of our church. You know, we're hugely privileged to have the number of young people involved in our fellowship that we do. That's why we had the gift day. That's why we've sought to secure this ministry for the future, because we want to continue to invest in that. We've been advertising for both roles. We are close to being in a position to make an announcement about the children's role. We're kind of moving towards kind of being able to make an appointment there. The youth role, because of the need to be able to make find a day that everyone can make, both panel and potential candidates, we've had to delay that process. We were hoping to interview next week. It's now going to be, the interviews are now going to be the end of June. So I'm afraid to say it would be a longer wait to kind of hear where we are with that. We would hope in the case of roles to have someone in place in the autumn for both roles. That's our goal. That's the plan, with a view of them starting over the summer to kind of get their feet under the table and be ready to kind of take things on there. Particularly if we can get that children's work role appointment made sooner, we would hope that that would allow kind of the person who is appointed to kind of spend time with John and be in a really good position to build on what John's doing, because they'd have time to kind of talk about it and think about it together. But it still involves change, doesn't it? It's going to be different people, but it's more than just a different person taking up that role. Kind of what we're not looking for is kind of clones of John and Claire, even though they are absolutely gorgeous and absolutely lovely. Yeah, we're entering into a new season, and I suspect whoever comes will bring different strengths and different weaknesses too, actually, because no one's perfect, and also different emphasis. But what we're looking for is continuity in how we do children and youth ministry within our church. The values of discipling young people, of encouraging young people to make disciples themselves, that's at the heart of our youth ministry. And we're looking for people that have got the skills to continue to develop that, even though they might have kind of a different personality and different ways of doing things. So we want continuity, but we want people that will bring their own gifts and be able to express their own gifts kind of in the most appropriate way. And so kind of we're really excited about that. The practical side is, and it was in the letter, but if people didn't miss it, it just might be helpful for you to know. There's a subtle change in how we're appointing. Claire was part-time, and she was seconded to Life and Soul for a day a week. John was full-time. We are seeing a demographic shift, with a lot of our children moving out of children's ministry into youth ministry. So we want the youth role to be full-time, because we will see over the next 2-3 years that is going to grow significantly, and we need to be able to invest in that. John's role, when he was full-time, also involved the leadership of the 7 o'clock congregation, and whoever comes in won't have that responsibility. So our intention is that the children's work role will be, which we're broadening to have more of a family emphasis on parents too, and we're looking for someone particularly with the skills to do stuff with mums, which probably hasn't been John's forte, no matter how good he is at everything. We're looking for someone to, you know, that role will become a part-time role, and that's where we are. And that kind of both reflects the finances. It also reflects where kind of we see the demographic going and where we see the need going into the future. So kind of, it's not just about a change of face, kind of there's kind of a change of emphasis going alongside that. And, you know, it's easy to focus on Sunday. We really want to see, you know, what happens during the week continue to be developed as well. There are also other wider changes happening in leadership. You know, kind of when John and Claire go in the summer, we will have seen a massive change of personnel on our leadership team. You know, they've been responsible for children and youth. Hannah has already taken on the admin role. She will only been in that a year. We have a new church warden involved in B. Mary has stepped down from running house groups. We're anticipating that Sarah will be taking that on in the autumn. Dedo is coming onto the leadership team to look after evangelism, and Katie is coming on to look after the 7 o'clock congregation. So we're seeing actually quite a change in leadership. So kind of this kind of whole theme of change is threading its way through church life in every area. And I guess the place I want to close today is, well, how do we respond to that, really? And I want to just respond with I want to close with just another New Testament story. If we go to the next slide. This is just one of the most familiar verses in the whole New Testament. Acts 1 verse 8. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit, and it's the command to kind of continue Jesus' ministry to his disciples. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you know Acts, it's a bit like a blueprint for the whole of the book. It's a bit like the contents of Acts, really. If you read your way through Acts, you'll see that's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes on them. They start to be witnesses in Jerusalem. Then they go to Samaria and Judea. And then they go to the ends of the earth. And it kind of finishes kind of in Rome, almost. Or Paul on the way to Rome. So it is a bit of a blueprint. And that sounds like, well, that's great. The early church did exactly God kind of said at the beginning with that promise. Well, actually, no, because it started really well. The day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 became Christians, and then you kind of read on, and more became Christians, and more became Christians. And it wasn't just about numbers. You start to read about the things they did. They broke bread in each other's homes. They shared as one had need. They healed the sick. They did all this amazing stuff. Because it wasn't just a growing church. It was a church that was healthy and full of life. And you would kind of think, wow, isn't it great? What needs to change? But actually, they got stuck in Jerusalem. It's only after the death of Stephen and the persecution that begins that they leave Jerusalem and go to Judea and Samaria and gradually to the ends of the earth and take this out. And for me, that's an interesting picture of how change sometimes works. The last thing I wanted to hear last year was John and Claire saying, "We think God's calling us to move on," because I love working with them and I've worked with them for a long while and they do such a brilliant job. And I'm not, you may think so, I'm not completely stupid. I also know how jolly hard it is going to be to fill the gaps that they leave behind. But sometimes God has to provoke us and change things. And sometimes the change isn't always comfortable for us to move on to the next thing. And that's that whole thing about change. We don't always welcome it because we get comfortable with where we are. And sometimes it can be a really good place where we are. But actually, God has a way of bringing things along to shake us out of that. And we can look at that negatively because we don't want to be shaken out of it and because it seems great as it is. Or we can look at it positively to think, no, we didn't want this. We didn't expect it. We will probably not choose this. But actually, God, what are you doing in it? And what are you wanting to do in our future? And so I've chosen to talk about change because I think that's what I see in our future. What actually that kind of generates into? Does it generate into us being independent as a church? How would that change how we function, how we relate to other churches? How does that kind of generate in the appointments we will make for staff, the roles they will have, the gifts they will bring? At the moment, we it's a bit like we see through a glass darkly. We see little bits of that. And is it going to be as it was before? Well, actually, probably not, which at times will feel sad, but actually also might be a good thing too. And I just really want to be saying, this isn't any great prophetic word this morning. We've got change coming, guys. What does it look like? What's it going to change to? Well, actually, I don't know. But actually, this could be an exciting journey that God's leading us on. Do you want to join us on that journey, really? Do we respond negatively, or do we respond positively? I'm going to shut up because I have talked for far too long and I haven't left much time for questions. And I really hope you have got some questions because it always kind of feels like I've done a really bad job if you haven't. So someone think of something.